Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Menace. Welcome to the show, everybody. And we're here with nobody, because Flash is out of the office again. Flash is moving across the country from Seattle to Philly this week and next week. So we'll be without Flash for a couple weeks. So everybody, wish him well and luck and all those great things as he moves back to his hometown. But in the meantime, I have trained Pate on how to, sound like Flash and to be a little bit of a placeholder. So, Pate, you got anything to say to us?
I have seen the film Tar at least 15 times.
That is incredible. I'm so glad you shared that with us.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, Pete's here with us today. We're super thankful for that. And if you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. You can also find us on all major podcasting platforms where you can leave us a comment if you're on Spotify. When we see that, we'll make sure to get back to you. All that engagement is super awesome for the show. You can also leave us a 5-star review, make us look super duper cool. And if you're on YouTube with us right now, you can see we're at 392 subscribers and counting, almost to 400. Help us get there. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. We have some changes to the platform coming at the top of the year. But at the end of today's show, we're doing one of our biweekly giveaways by becoming an official Pepperhead for $3 a month. Become a supporter and get access to one of those giveaways, which this week we're giving away a collector's booster of Outlaws of Thunder Junction. And if you become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead for $5 a month, like Will Rule, K-Mr. K, UWP Quirt, D-Mun82, Tommy Cypher, Jacob Hibbard, The Boogie Ghost, Pool Boy Barry, Draw for Turn, KB, maybe Jeremy, maybe Anthony, you get two entries into each of those bi-weekly giveaways, increasing your odds significantly. We also have Revenlift hanging out in the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge. Not a lot of action in there this week. I think the Pepe Le Pew was in there, scared everybody off. So we got to get a sanitation team in there to clean that out so that, the community can jump back in.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
I don't know. I'm riffing solo over here, everybody. Come on, give me a break. All right. This week, we are breaking down another frog, this time of the Bant variety. We're talking about Helga, Skittish Seer, and the results and potential that it has seen in CDH, including your very own Menace build. I took the time to put one together. We're going to talk about a list that I found and the improvements that I've made for my own personal playstyle. So look forward to that. That's today's main subject. But before we get into that, we definitely have to talk about the banned and restricted announcement that happened on December 16th. This doesn't have any bearing on Commander, which has sort of bearing on Commander because they still haven't acknowledged Commander on these banned and restricted announcements. So as an official format that Wizards of the Coast governs, there was a lot of speculation on it, but I think they want to have those brackets set in place by the time that before they put that up there and start updating the ban list. So still yet to look forward to that. The projection, I'm guessing, is going to be by Vegas, MagicCon Vegas this year. If you're listening to this episode on release, I think the early bird prices are still available for MagicCon Chicago. So get out there, come see the Mock Stars. I will be there along with my original, my OG playgroup, I think, is also making the trip out. So super excited to see them at a MagicCon. Before we do that, the banned and restricted announcement, before I get too far off on a tangent, In Pioneer, we see Gigantha, the Wellspring band, and I reached out to some Pioneer homies, and they are, I guess, just as confused as I was when I was like, I just asked them, I was like, what is, was it really that good or that oppressive? And the general response was that it just made, like, it didn't have any drawbacks, like that deck building restriction didn't have any drawbacks to, like, the decks that were using it. So it was just upside. And so if your game went into the mid, you know, went into mid-range hell, like, you had to have, you know, sometimes a 5/5 that generated 5 mana was enough to get you over the hump. So it just took away a slight advantage that some of the, like, the better decks had that didn't really have a real drawback, which this makes 5 of the 10 companions banned in at least one format. So this is kind of like I understand, like, it was crazy design space, and it was definitely jarring when it first happened because formats just changed and warped, and, you know, Luris just ran every format it was legal in. But, you know, even the rule change has proven that this is still a game that's not quite ready for the companion mechanics. You know, it's, I don't know if we'll ever see more companions. It's just, they're 5 out of 10 banned. Crazy. The big news this week is in Modern, as the One Ring is banned, Amped Raptor is banned, Gigantha is also banned here. But even bigger news, the unbanning of Mox Opal, Green Sun Zenith, Faithless Looting, and Splinter Twin. These were, I think, in Modern, there was a large movement, you know, unbanned Twin for a long time. And, you know, it's, if you're unfamiliar, Splinter Twin basically gives a creature the ability that Kigijiki has, and except it loses that whole non-legendary clause. So you can make copies of legendary creatures to get the ETBs. But yeah, Splinter Twin is a 4-mana, 2/2 red enchantment aura that says enchanted creature has tap, put a token that's a copy of this creature onto the battlefield. It has haste, exile it at the beginning of the next end step. So there are quite a few combos with it that, since it gives haste, there are a couple blue creatures. I can't quite remember the names. Pestermite, I think, is one of them. But it's when it enters, untap target creature or untap target permanent. So the combo is just create a million of those, and then you swing out, everything has haste, you win the game. So we'll see if Modern can handle the reintroduction of Splinter Twin. I know that the people who are fans of the card think it's one of the most fun decks to play. And I think the Modern game has gotten fast enough with the introduction, you know, of Modern Horizons 1, 2, and 3. The inclusion of new sets that are clearly, like, pushing the boundaries of power in Constructed. And, you know, Faithless Looting even coming back is great. This is just such a great card to, like, push through and see, like, for card advantage and information and everything like that. The ability to cast from the grave is huge. And Green Sun Zenith, we're already seeing the stocks rise on that. It's super exciting. I think this, while green decks have always had a place in Modern, I think this, like, brings back the ability to play Dryad Arbor on turn one. So, like, to search it out and ramp. You know, it's really exciting. And Mox Opal, people have been talking about, like, bringing donuts back into the format. So we'll see what happens. This is such a massive change. It's very exciting. It sort of breathes new life into Modern for people who've been playing for a long time, and potentially bringing some people back who were players a long time ago, and seeing if they can, like, pull off old strategies, see if they're still strong enough to compete. In Legacy, Psychic Frog is banned. It's a really, I think, far stronger card than initially anticipated. And then Vexing Bauble is banned. And I think it's for the same reason that we see Vexing Bauble is strong in CDH, is that it makes faster formats faster. And, like, Vexing Bauble doesn't allow for free interaction. It's whenever a player casts a spell, if no mana was spent to cast it, counter that spell. And so Legacy, a lot of the best pieces of interaction, you know, like Force of Will, are powerless to stop this. So turn one, Vexing Bauble, and then just go off, go crazy, and win the game. You know, and there's no way to interact with it at all, since it's maybe the start of the game. And that's basically, you know, Legacy is just solitaire in many ways. But now that Vexing Bauble is gone, it was, you know, seeing as it was so problematic, hopefully it goes back to the format that was loved by, you know, there are literally dozens of us, you know, it's like, not me, but, you know, to the dozens of people who like Legacy, hopefully it makes it enjoyable for them again. All right, one thing I have to note before we move into Helga and to start talking about Helga is that on Secret Lair, they opened the Chaos Vault, and they're doing this Ferris Drop of All. And I finally received it in the mail this week, and I do have to give kudos and props to Wizards of the Coast on this one. These cards are beautiful, and it is still available. It is a $25. And you can only get one, but and they have a few other drops in stock. But I think these are some of the highest quality cards I've seen in a while. Like, they're beautiful. The foil isn't like super flashy, or it doesn't look like it was just ran over with, you know, the foil treatment. It's just like the letters are perfectly foiled against like a matte background. And then the leaves on like Steely Resolve are foiled. It's so pretty in the backsides. Like, the letters just pop. It's so easy to read. It's if you're unfamiliar with this drop, it is one copy of Estrid's Invocation, Steely Resolve, Estrid the Mast, the Planeswalker, which I thought would be hard to read or you know, be difficult to play due to it being like a two-sided planeswalker, but just looking at the card and the quality of card stock on these is just, it is up there. I don't tout Secret Lairs often, but when I spend $25 and I get a really good product, I'm gonna boost it, you know. In the Tuvasa the Sunlit, like, a great commander that's super fun to build around as a card draw engine, and really beautiful artwork. And like I said, just all the gold accents really pop on this. So very excited and glad I pulled the trigger on this one. Glad I bought it and went against my principles. I gave Wizards of the Coast money. I don't usually do that, but maybe talking about them in this way will make them give me money. Maybe they'll sponsor me now. Oh, yeah. Wizards of the Coast, if you're listening to this, which I'm convinced that you are, just, you know, I can say these nice things about products. If you continue making them like this, I will continue to say nice things. All right, and Don Cheadle, I know you're out there listening. Go out there, buy yourself one of these Ferris Drop of All drops. You know, you got the money to do it. All right, before Helga, one more thing. Now I gotta go and do Dr. Pepper's awesome. Drink two consecutively and you will achieve limitless status, expand your neural pathways, and you can see that I am in that state of mind. When you see this build, you're gonna go crazy because it's awesome. It's so awesome. I love Bance commanders, and I love when they can include enchantments, because that's what I've done with this build. Helga has, well, not really seen play in larger tournaments. If you go to EDH Top 16 and you look, and just for the commander itself, there's no results. And you go to 60 plus players and there's no results. Not a single person has entered this deck. And then you go to alt events and you see some smaller tournaments, 45, 35, 28, 24, 26, 8, second place in an 8-player tournament. Woo! Congratulations, Joshua Kelly. The one that I'm going to highlight today is by Emily Coy at Cruel Summer 6, 28 players. I pulled it up and I just wanted to see what you know, what was going on with Helga, because the ability is really great. This is like Chulainn, but maybe a little bit more upside, even though, like, I think people who played Chalene back in the day could say, like, man, that deck was it was strong. Even I think it carries a little bit of it's still a little too high on the priority list as far as like what to deal with. Like, Chalene can sit there now. Chalene is not that good. This might be a little bit better. Helga is a green, white, blue for a legendary creature, Frog Druid, a 1/3 that says whenever you cast a creature spell with mana value 4 or greater, you draw a card, gain 1 life, and put a +1/+1 counter on Helga, Skittish Seer. And then you can tap, add X mana to any one color, where X is Helga, Skittish Seer's power. Spend this mana only to cast creature spells with mana value 4 or greater, or creature spells with X in their mana costs. Wah wah wee wah, schwabadoo, this is such a good card. Like, I think Bloomburrow really gave us, you know, some gold here with Helga. And I mean, there are a few commanders from Bloomburrow that, and few cards from Bloomburrow that really should be seeing more play. But this deck list, the Just a Wee Widow Foggy by Michael Edition, by Emily Coy, it is a pretty banging list. So, starting off, Invasion of Ikoria, this is definitely a creature build. They have 37 creatures here. The Planeswalker, only one, and is Kiora, Behemoth Beckoner, 7 loyalty on this. Whenever a creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. You can -1 to untap target permanent. It's perfect. It's the perfect Planeswalker for the deck. I just translated it, right? I just transferred it right over to my list because, you know, like, the upside of drawing cards, not only that, you can get double tappies with Helga with that activated ability. So, super sexy Planeswalker there. You love to see it. Creatures just go bananas here because you have Walking Ballista. This is likely the win condition here. And then you have Arbor Elf, a series of dorks. Arbor Elf, Avacyn's Pilgrim, Bird's Paradise, Delighted Halfling, Elvish Mystic, Esper Sentinel, Mockingbird, Noble Hierarch, Bloom Tender, you know, and then Derevi here to untappies, continue doing untappy stuff. Faberal Elder, you know, tons of dorks, tons of mana. That's what this deck wants to see. Flash, any opinions on the creatures?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The other creatures that support the strategy, this is where I kind of get lost with the list because there's no primer. You know, I really wanted to like peek inside this player's brain just to see what was going on. But the other creatures, you have to have a certain number of 4 mana value or higher creatures in order to make the best use out of Helga, because it isn't just any creature card that you can cast. And there aren't really, like, there's one creature with X, and we already talked about it. It's Walking Ballista. So, like, Helga is here. The mana is, like, has restrictions, and so you need to be able to spend it somewhere, and then also be able to draw cards and put counters on it and gain life. So, when we look at creatures that are 4 mana value or greater, they're including a common from Dragons of Tarkir. I can't remember exactly what that set symbol is, but Ancestral Statue, 4 mana. When it enters the battlefield, return a non-land permanent you control to its owner's hand. So a bit of a way of like recycling cards to continue like the engine of drawing cards with Helga. And then Beast Whisperer, this is beautiful. It's a 4 mana creature. And whenever you cast a creature spell, you draw a card. Boom. Dynamite in this list. Emile the Blessed, you can pay 3 and flicker a creature you control. And this is like, I don't know. I don't quite know like why this is here, right? And like Teemer Sabertooth, I get, because you can get additional casts off of it by bouncing the creatures back to your hand and like sort of growing Helga, making that cost more, you know, like tap for more mana. Emile just flickers something. There's no casting involved. It's an activated ability. You can't use Helga's mana to feed into it. And there's not really anything else that it does. Dockside's dead. And here, this is the point I wanted to make before I even got into this. Dockside's dead. It's gone, baby. the format is so healthy without it that we're able to actually talk about a Bant commander as a viable option. I know Derevi has seen play lately, and that is a viable option. It wasn't when Dockside was alive. So count your blessings, folks, because Bant is back and can be viable. Now, how Helga, perseveres and inserts itself into the format, yet to be seen. But without Dockside, decks can thrive. And a creative mindset, creative deck builders can have a chance at the table. So while there still are top tier, top meta decks that are still ruling the format, it is actually rewarding to play off meta because you can compete. You can compete. You're not going to get blown out by a Dockside. So, Emil, not sure what you're doing here. Forgotten Ancient, I understand this. Right? Whenever a player casts a spell, you may put a +1/+1 counter on Forgotten Ancient. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may move any number of +1/+1 counters from the Ancient to other creatures. This is like Sylvan Library good. Right? Like, I get it. It stimulates strategy. Like, in a way, it's a 4-mana creature. You can cast it with Helga, and whenever a player casts a spell, but then you gotta wait. You got to wait until your next upkeep. So you go all the way around, give 3 other players a chance to, build up the counters or kill it or kill Helga, right? It doesn't have trample. It doesn't have keywords that matter. It's a commander card that is lost to time. The game is too fast. And in CEDH, this, for me, doesn't work. So I get it. I don't know. I really like the addition of Frilled Mystic and Mystic Snake here. 4 mana, 1 Mystic Snake is a little less mana restrictive. It's 1 a green and 2 blue. And then Frilled Mystic is 2 green and 2 blue. But they're both creatures that have flash and have the same exact effect. When they enter the battlefield, you may counter target spell. Beautiful. For this deck, it's beautiful. It's interaction. It's finding a way to stay in the game with, a build around commander. These are great. And then this is where I can see like Emil or Teamer Sabretooth coming into play where it's like, okay, yeah, I'll pay the 3 and I'll flicker my Mystic Snake so I can counter that spell. But then you're depending on 2 creatures. You're not really playing that many tutors. Your card draw engine's in the command zone. It's a little mana restrictive. And then It's not guaranteed to draw you a ton of cards either. So I see it. I see the ceiling. I don't know. I'm not sure. But big here, we have Mist Hollow Griffin. And if you are unfamiliar, Mist Hollow Griffin is a 3/3, 2/2 blue flyer that says you may cast it from exile. That means Food Chain is back on the menu. Woo! All right. Food Chain. Exile a creature you control. Mist Hollow Griffin. Add X mana of any one color where X is 1 plus the exile creature's mana value. Spend this mana only to cast creature spells. We all know Food Chain combos. Food Chain wins games. And it also helps you put infinite mana into a walking ballista that'll win you the game. And, your commander. Whenever you cast a creature spell with mana value four or greater, which Mist Hollow Griffin is, you draw a card, you gain 1 life, and then you put a counter on Helga. So even if Helga isn't on the battlefield, you cast Mist Hollow Griffin, you assemble the combo, get all that infinite mana, cast Helga, and then continue casting the Griffin infinitely. You will draw your entire library, and then you will cast a Walking Ballista for infinite damage. And win the game. So, super cool. Super rad. You love to see it. I love to see it. It's beautiful. And it goes into, even when we talk about my build, I love that that's there and that is an option. So, Phyrexian Metamorph, 4 mana creature. Disgusting. On cast, even if you're having it enter as a one ring. On cast, Helga's going to see it. draw you the card, gain you the life, put a counter on itself. So Phyrexian Metamorph, all-star here, clutch. Subtlety. This is kind of good. This is where, you know, you start looking at the higher mana value creatures. This is 2/2 blue for a flash flying. When it enters, choose up to one target creature spell or planeswalker spell, and then its owner puts it on the top or bottom of their library. You can also evoke it, exiling a blue card, which Helga does not care about alternate casting costs, because even if you evoke a card, you're going to put it on the stack and it's going to have its original mana value attached to it. So Helga will still see, even though you spent no mana, Helga will still see that, will still draw you a card, gain a life, put a counter on it, make it bigger, tap for more mana. Really great inclusion here, especially with the inclusion of Solitude and Endurance. So all three of these elemental incarnations from Modern Horizons 2 are present here because they, well, Endurance doesn't do it, but Subtlety and Solitude do. And I think that's actually really, really great for the deck. So Temur Sabertooth draws a card when it casts it. Hopefully you're able to get to a point where you generate enough mana with Helga to, you know, flicker and cast a bunch of things and draw a bunch of cards. Venser, really, really good here. It's another counter spell without countering, so you can get through things like Grand Abolisher. You'd have to cast it before the Abolisher resolves. But yes, can still bounce things, even if they're uncounterable. Seaborn Muse, I get it. Consecrated Sphinx, really good. I get it. Hullbreaker Horror, I get it. Nezahal, Primal Tide, I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. All right. I mean, Nezahal, whenever an opponent casts a non-creature spell, you draw a card. You need card draw engines in this because you're not going to be running into creatures with mana value 4 or greater. I mean, in this list, let's see, half, maybe. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 of the 37. Yeah, are 4 or greater. That's not great odds and not going to get you a lot of cards. So, I see it. But, and that's part of the problem. Sorceries, Finale Devastation, Eldritch Evolution, 1/2 green, Idyllic Tutor, 2W. Instance, I didn't really improve upon this package too much, even in my own build, because I think it's pretty well fleshed out, and I can see how, like, this player ended up getting second, because, you know, their interaction's actually pretty great here. Pact, Flusterstorm, Swan Song, Mental Misstep, Fierce Guardianship, Force of Will, Force of Negation, Mindbreak Trap. All great cards. All cards that keep the game alive, allowing you to stick your finger in wherever you want. Silence as well, Enlightened Tutor, Swords, Worldly Tutor, Quarter Calling, Force of Vigor. Really great stuff. This deck was submitted before Mana Crypt was banned, so Mana Crypt's here, but it probably isn't anymore when they updated the list. Enchantments. They're playing Carpet of Flowers, Deafening Silence, Mystic Remora, Sylvan Library, bad card, Food Chain, Intruder Alarm, spicy, Rhystic Study, Smothering Tithe. So, card draw engines, Food Chain is beautiful, Intruder Alarm, I really, 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 really like it. I also kept it in my build because, Helga's trying to cast creatures. So, cast a creature, untap Helga. Boom. Boom. Mystic Remora is really great here. Sylvan Library sucks. Deafening Silence, really great since you're a creature shell. And lands. Nothing really special here. They're missing Serra Sanctum. That is my one criticism of these lands. And they're playing Aspara's Headquarters, which I removed. Tapped lands, for me, not really where I want to be. I don't really want to be top decking that, even if it has cycling or whatever. I can't use Helga's mana to cycle that. So, all right, everyone, take your quick Dr. Pepper break. Come back in a few minutes. Yep, chug that baby down. And all right. Not only did we going through this list, there was also that other list, that second place at an 8-player tournament that had me thinking. And I took a look at it. And it's, so, here, Joshua Kelly. Congratulations, second place. It's called Hippo, and it's playing a Karuga companion, and one of the five companions not banned, and it is a sexy one because it is three and then two hybrid Simic mana for a dinosaur hippo, 5/4, that the restriction is kind of where it gets spicy. Your starting deck can only contain cards with converted mana cost 3 or greater and land cards. When Karuga enters the battlefield, draw a card for each other permanent you control with converted mana cost 3 or greater. You sacrifice the ability to have dorks for a potential explosion of card draw when you go for Karuga to cast it. And Helga, while not being able to pay for the companion tax, does allow you to cast the Karuga and potentially draw, like I said, an explosion of cards. So I really like, when I was going through the list, and I really like it. I think it's really clever. Like Fate Stitcher coming in, unearthing it, using it to untap Helga. You don't get a cast for unearth. It's an activated ability. But, casting the Fate Stitcher is something that will draw you a card with Helga. And then there's things like Rift Sower, because you're without dorks here. So you pay one mana to suspend this for two, and then you get a dork when it comes down with haste to add one mana of any color. So I really, this build is very unique. It's very creative. I like it a lot. I wish it had performed in a tournament larger than 8 so I could truly see how it interacts with the meta. But then it also inspired me. It has Wandering Archaic. What? I love that card. Sheesh. And Elishnorn. Boom, mommy. Vanifar. It has pod lines that, just help it get to where it needs to go. And Deadeye Navigator, I'm not really sure if it's just there for like Peregrine Drake or what, for infinite mana. But I think it's like, there's a lot of cool combo pieces here. Colossal Sky Turtle, like, love it. Channel, super strong. Hullbreaker Horror, Nyx Bloom Ancient, Void Winnower, Ulamog, Ceaseless Hunger. Like, I this is such a creative list. And High Fate Trickster, you can cast spells as though they had flash. This just makes, so good. And then Valley Floodcaller, too, fits right in here. Whenever you cast a non-creature, birds, frogs, otters, and rats you control get +1/+1 until end of turn, then you untap them. What? Was that other list missing something? Helga is a frog. Yo! That's good! That's so good! All right. This deck was very creative, very cool. And then it's also including things like Mind Over Matter. Like, discard a card, untap something. Retreat to Coral Helm. Let's go! I think this is really cool. You forego Mr. Grimora, you forego Carpet of Flowers, you forego all of your access to dorks and low-cost interaction like Silence. So you do run into some issues, I will say, but the opponent will never see it coming with a Karuga companion in the zone. So Jace and Vivian here. Really great. I wonder if this is on Lab Man. No. Not on Lab Man. Okay. I'm not sure what the I'm not totally sure what the win con is, since you can't include Walking Ballista either. But it was very inspiring. So I took some of these things, not the Krugan Companion, and I implemented them in my list. And before we look at my list, I have a little experience in building like Bant commanders in an Enchantress mindset with Kestia. This deck list is on my Moxfield. It's called The Gang Sees a Broadway Musical. Kestia, the Bestia, is usually what I call this deck when I play it. It's incredibly consistent. It's a great card draw engine. There are plenty of enchantment creatures that go into the list that help it like see consistent card draw. And then I looked at it and I was like, man, there's not a lot of creatures here with 4 or greater. That kind of sucks for me. So I was able to draw a little inspiration from like the interaction, the ramp, and the selection of enchantments here. But without further ado, let's go into the Gang Jams of Wandering Archaic. Yeah, Helga by Menace. I really like this list. I am excited. Like I said, I just plugged Kiora right in here. It's super good. Draws cards, untaps, permanents. Really great stuff. Walking Ballista, a suite of dorks, including Avacyn's Pilgrim, Birds of Paradise, Delighted Halfling. Esper Sentinel is here for card draw. Mockingbird, super great with Helga. Like, this is one of, like, I have a couple, like, Helga and one other clone in here, but this is, or two other clones in here, but this is one that, like, even though it's one mana value that can be searched out with Ranger Captain, Helga can still help cast it and, copy something huge, or just, you know, cast it for four and then copy something small. So you still get the Helga trigger. So I think Mockingbird, very great interaction here with Helga. Noble Hierarch, Bloomtender, Dranith, Polywog Prodigy. This is really good here too. I really thought about including the Valley Floodcaller combo. I don't know. I can't explain the line completely. I'll try to find the combo and put it in the description below to explain it for everybody. Sanctum Weaver. A menace green deck would not be complete without it. Derevi is here. The untapped shenanigans, too good to pass up. Endurance, Eternal Witness. Heliod, Suncrowned. Whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 creature on target creature or enchantment you control. Helga gains you life when you cast a creature with mana value 4 or greater. So this one felt like, wow, that's such an easy include, especially since Walking Ballista is basically our win condition, right? It's like, now we have a side way. We now have a side hustle to be able to go get that, or to assemble that combo sooner or for less mana, or using Helga to even instigate the Heliod line. So not casting Heliod, but casting the Ballista for four, right? So, and Helga will help do that. So I really like Heliod here. Also an enchantment creature. So boom, enchantment, feeds the Sanctum Weavers, feeds the Sarah Sanctum. This is super good. Makes Helga bigger so that it can tap for more mana faster. Ranger Captain. One of the best white cards. Auto include alongside Dranith Magistrate and Silence. Valley Floodcaller. Like I said, I'll return to the concept of the combo and see if it fits here. If it's something that can just catch opponents off guard, because I am including a number of, we'll have a frog in the command zone that taps for mana. So maybe this is the best deck for that combo. Who knows? Beast Whisperer, like I said, disgusting artwork. One, if you're on YouTube, disgusting artwork. But a disgusting inclusion here, just because it's going to draw you so many more cards off of Helga. Enduring Curiosity, another enchantment creature. Because I'm playing a creature shell, it's likely that I'm going to have more creatures or better creatures than my opponents that can get through and draw me more cards. Plus, it has Flash. That's where a lot of the deck and a lot of CDH comes into play, is like the mindset is finding your window and shooting the gap when you can. So if I have a Derevi on the battlefield, it's like I can tap the Enduring Curiosity and then make contact with whatever and then untap Helga and keep going. It's just like for four mana, it procs Helga and it draws additional cards. And if it dies, it returns to the battlefield as an enchantment. So you love to see it. It's a really great card. And it's a really good card in Standard right now. So I was happy to find a deck that could fit it in CDH. We have Heliod, the Radiant Dawn. Boom, boom, nuclear explosion. Heliod here, another form of him. If you're unfamiliar, this is from Aftermath, but a legendary creature god. When a Heliod, the Radiant Dawn, enters the battlefield, return target enchantment card that isn't a god from your graveyard to your hand. Wah, wah, wee, wah. That's a few creatures that I have here. So Sanctum Weaver or Enduring Curiosity or, let's say my food chain gets countered, like Heliod's going to be able to get that back for me. And then it has 3 and a Phyrexian mana to transform it. You may cast spells as though they had Flash. I'm trying to drive home the point that Flash is super important.
Yeah, whatever.
And I just, you know, with this, if you're able to transform it and then your opponents go into their turn and you're, you know, this, I still have Seaborn Muse in the list, but it's like Heliod coming through in the clutch, even with Intruder Alarm. It's like you can basically cast whatever you want on your opponent's turns and it costs less to do it, one. And then, yeah, you can win at instant speed, two. That's what makes the best decks the best decks. Having the ability to win on the stack in the moment or interacting with the game in a way that's unexpected. And I think Heliod, the Warped Eclipse, and Heliod, the Radiant Dawn, this is a card that's going to help you do it if you're able to reach the mid game, which is what this deck wants to do. So High Fate Trickster here, Flash. It's super important.
Yeah, whatever.
And then Linvala, Keeper of Silence, an incredible stacks piece. Activate abilities of creatures your opponent's control can't be activated. So it's a fringe card for me. There are too many clones in CEDH right now to, you know, I'm just running it because I think it's incredibly oppressive to my opponents, but it also completely stops me. You know, if someone is to clone it. So, it doesn't totally stop my card draw engine, but it does stop me from tapping Helga for crazy mana. And it kills my, like, basically just, like, ends my dorks, like, makes them useless. And I don't have enough removal in this deck. I have, like, one Swords to Plowshares. So, Mist Hollow Griffin for Food Chain. Myrel. I cut Grand Abolisher. Grand Abolisher in this list sucks. She's not that good. Like, I think it's good in other decks for sure, but Myrel is the same exact text for a 4-mana creature that procs Helga and shuts off your opponents and has upside. So Myrel is here in place of that. Basically a Grand Abolisher, just costs more, and that's what this deck wants to see. Phyrexian Metamorph, sexy. Stun Double, sexy. Subtlety, sexy. Venser, sexy. Overlord of the Hauntwoods. This is a standard card that I think has value here because of its reduced casting cost. For one, a green, it still meets the requirements for it. Helga can use like their mana to cast this, but for the impending cost, because it is still seen as a 5-mana creature. So it's really great because it still procs it too. If you haven't seen any standard gameplay on Arena, like Up the Beanstalk is crazy good. It keeps, you know, it's like makes for a lot of variety in standard, but the overlords go crazy with it because they're all five mana or greater or whatever. So like Overlord of the Hauntwoods, like you can cast one in a green to for that impending cost and you still get the card draw off of Up the Beanstalk. Same is true for Helga. You can still use the mana. And because it is a mana value 4 or greater, you will draw a card, gain a life, put a counter on it. So Overlord of the Hauntwoods here helps you, like, one, generate more mana. Two, it's an enchantment creature, so it feeds right into our strategy. And then three, it's a 6/5. It's huge. So even if you're, like, early in the game, you're going to be able to drop this probably turn two and ramp. Hopefully, you know, stick to the game, stay in the game with your interaction, and then get this onto the board. Or later in the game, you cast this for its full mana value. And then, yeah, you have a 6/5 that beats face, man, and generates lands. Seaborn Muse, really great. I think it's part of my, like, potential. It's on the edge. I don't want to, like, completely bank on a Seaborn Muse to, like, take me to the moon, but it can. It can take me to the moon, but I don't want to bank on it or have it, like, be, you know, a combination of cards in the 99 to help me get there. You know, like, a Seaborn Muse does a lot with the commander, so that's why it's still here. It can also get copied again, a lot of clones in the format, so it can also provide upside for your opponents. It's also a huge lightning rod. Solitude, again, the evoke cost, really great. Wandering Archaic had to be in here. This is one of the best cards in CEDH right now. And if you don't think that, it's because you haven't played it before. Or you haven't even played against it before. It's one of the best cards. It's really great. Even back when and released, I said it was the number one card from Strixhaven. I still believe it. Consecrated Sphinx, 4/2 blue, draws cards. Colossal Sky Turtle, channels really good. It's an enchantment creature. It's freaking huge. It also comes into play with one of the enchantments I decided to play. Hullbreaker Horror, the combos here, you know, like Intruder Alarm, allowing you to untap and tap like Helga or whatever. You know, it's like Hullbreaker Horror, Helga, and then a creature with mana value, two creatures with mana value, 4 or greater or whatever with Hullbreaker Horror. You can bounce them infinitely and then draw your entire library and then cast, you know, a Walking Ballista for 1,000,000 mana. You have Null Drifter here. I think this is really good. The evoke cost for 2 and a blue. When you cast this spell, draw 2 cards. It's a 4/4 flyer with Annihilator 1. So it not only does it evoke, enter, when you cast it, you get to draw 2 cards, not an ETB effect. And then also when it enters the battlefield, if Kiora is out there, you will draw a card because it will indeed hit the battlefield. So I think it's better than Mole Drifter by leaps and bounds. We also have Void Winnower here because we are essentially like hoping we run into some of these stacks pieces to keep our opponents out of the game or to like really neutralize them. So Void Winnower plays a big part of that. And hopefully you do get there. There's obviously missing pieces, right? This deck, I'm going to test it. There are obviously a few things that I want to get in there, get out of, but I need a high density of 4-mana creatures in order to continue proccing it, the card draw, the growth of Helga, stuff like that. But I know that like Kinnan would be great here. And, you know, and there's a few other enchantments like Trouble in Pairs that I'm missing, or Survival of the Fittest, which would be great, you know, to help filter those dorks that I might pick up, you know, into 4-mana creatures that I can then cast. So there are still thoughts and things that need to be tested, but I want to take this clunky build and, you know, test it a little bit, see what happens, see what lines I find and discover. But I do think this has a lot of potential to win games and kind of explode out of nowhere. Sorceries, Finale of Eldritch, Idyllic Tutor for Food Chain. Like I said, interaction, pretty much the same. I just took out Veil of Summer. Like, this isn't a combo deck. So, like, I'm not trying to protect any sort of like combo. And I think that Veil of Summer is good for that reason. Not necessarily great when you have blue. So I can just have a counterspell instead. So still sussing it out. Like I said, it's going to take some testing. Artifacts, Chrome Mox, Lotus Petal, Mana Vault, Soul Ring, the One Ring, and then Agatha's Soul Cauldron, which is notably missing from other builds as well. The Soul Cauldron helps Helga get bigger. It also can exile some of your dorks or creatures with abilities that, I don't know, I guess, you know, like Ranger Captive Eos, make all of your creatures with +1/+1 counters have the sacrifice ability. So I do think that this, like, Agatha's Soul Cauldron is very important. One, to interact with graves, other people's graves, and then two, build your commander, build your strategy when people don't feel like walking right into a Soul Cauldron activation. Enchantments. Carpet, Deafening Silence, Hardened Scales, I think has value here as a 1-mana enchantment that helps grow your Sanctum Weaver early and then helps grow your Sarah Sanctum early. And then also 2+1/+1 counters on Helga, making it tap for even crazier mana, helping you get to your 4-mana creatures that much faster. Because, you know, for 3-mana, you're just getting a dork that taps for 1, and it's just, like, that's Helga at her worst, right? It's like, you cast it, you go all the way around the table, taps for 1. Not very good. So, hopefully Hardened Scales can help alleviate that, help grow that. Maybe, like, that is also a cuttable card. Mystic Remora, Rhystic Study, Intruder Alarm, Food Chain, Smothering Tithe. The enchantment I want to talk about right here is, if you're on YouTube, Kozilek's Unsealing. 2 in a blue, uncommon enchantment from Modern Horizons 3. Whenever you cast a creature spell with mana value 4, 5, or 6, deck has a lot of those, create 2/0/1 colorless Eldrazi spawn creature tokens with sacrifices creature at a colorless, and then when you cast a creature spell with mana value 7 or greater, draw 3 cards. Wow. That's really good. I really like, I like having it here because it helps boost you into the stratosphere. Like by casting just a 4 mana creature, which the deck has a lot of, you turn it into something, like you turn it in, turn them into more mana, right? Blockers, additional creatures for Gaia's Cradle. Like this feels like an enchantment that just like out of the tombs or whatever from Master Keys in the last episode, I think Kozilek's Unsealing is one of those like really creative build around cards that I do not want to cut. I want to see what it does first, how often it procs. How often do I get to draw 3 cards? How often do I cast a Colossal Sky Turtle and draw 3 cards off of it because I'm at that point? So I really don't think I can cut it. I like it a lot. I would rather cut Hardened Scales, Linvala, Seedborn Muse, and a couple, you know, maybe Overlord, you know, for some more efficient things like Kinnan. But then again, I still need a high density. Like my density of 4 or greater is 20 of my 38. So over half of the creatures that I'm playing. And that's where I want to see the deck. You know, if I cut those 2 or 3 cards and I'm right back in the same territory as those other players are, and I'm not proccing Helga as often as I'd like, the creatures have to do enough. That's ultimately the big point that has to be made. The cards have to do enough to either disrupt your opponent's game plan or push you so far ahead to outpace them. So a few testing things to resolve. Lands, 27. I think that's fine. I cut Mox Diamond because I was sub 28. I think that's pretty much my threshold, is I will play Mox Diamond if I have 28 or more. So I went down to 27 with the number of dorks that I have and the mana generation that I have in them, and with a couple of enchantments. I'm okay with 27. I might just tweak the mana flexibility because I'm on things like Bountiful Promenade, which is great because it comes in untapped. But I'm just wondering if I swap those out for things like Breeding Pool or because those aren't in here right now, Temple Garden and the like. So Hallowed Fountain. Yeah, we'll see. Urza Saga's here. Shifting Woodlands. The utility lands are really great. I'm playing Treva's Ruins. I think these layer lands, when you're in these colors, if you're in the specific colors, they're great. They bounce an Odawara, they bounce a Besage You, and allow you additional interaction. I think that also includes in the testing, what I'm looking forward to doing is finding a slot for crop rotation so that I can sack a land to put the Treva's Ruins down and bounce one of those lands so I can continue to interact with the game in a meaningful way. You know, it sounds like a long walk, but it is totally possible, and I've had the opportunity to do it in the past, especially with my Naya builds with Rythe's Grove. So Naya guy gonna do. And I've learned a lot from these lair lands in with these super powerful channel ability from these lands from Neon Kamigawa. All right, this is fun. This is a really fun deck. And if you guys are out there, you're building it, hopefully this inspires you to like make a couple changes. Or if you, you know, we're thinking about a new deck to build, you can find this deck in the description below on YouTube and you can copy it, print it off, run some tests like I am. Knowing me, as soon as I end recording this, I will make edits to it and it'll no longer be exactly as it stands because I'll say Linvala is too high of a risk. I don't want it. You know? Like, who knows? You can find this in the description below on YouTube. You can print it out, test it yourself, or make changes to it. It's really, I think it's got a lot of potential. I think a lot of the decks we've been talking about lately have a lot of potential. You just have to have the courage to play them in a tournament setting. And there are, like, yes, the most proven decks are out there. I get it. But why don't you get out there and have some fun? Have a little risk. Like, if you go, you know, like, you win a game with one of these, like, it took me, I don't know, like, what, 3 tournaments, I think, to win a game. Like, it took me a while because I just didn't understand the format all that well. And, like, I still was figuring out the right timing of things. And this, that's what these decks, like, these creative builds often, like, that's where they require a lot of reps. So you know the timing of different decks and how to interact, where to stick your finger in, how to, you know, like, navigate politically with the deck as well. So, because people will probably see certain things like Heliod, the Sun, or Heliod Suncrown, and go, "Ooh, that's a walking ballista away from me dying," and, you know, try to interact with it. And politically, you have to know how to navigate that situation. So these decks do test your metal, and definitely worth the risk. And it's very rewarding when you win with them. So if you like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. You can also find us on Patreon, where you can support us for $3 a month and become an official Pepperhead. Support the show, get access to each of our bi-weekly giveaways, and then you can also become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead. Get a shout out like Will Rule, K Mr. K, UWP Quirt, Pool Boy Barry, Draw for Turn, KB, Demon 82, Tommy Cypher, Maybe Jeremy, Jacob Hippard, The Boogie Ghost, and Maybe Anthony. Thank you all for your support. Ravenlift, the Cherry Pepper Vanilla Head, the sole wearer of the crown in the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge, thank you for your support as well. And like I said, we will have an announcement coming soon with the restructure of the Patreon platform, with all the details of that. Looking forward to making additional content that's exclusive to Patreon, and then also making the tiers more rewarding. So stay tuned to that. We're very excited to get you guys in the loop. We'll also have at the top of the year some annual subscription specials. So yeah, really exciting stuff. Not only are we getting a lot of really cool cards in Magic the Gathering, and now some improvement on card quality with this secret lair, you know, the fairest drop of all, get out there and get one if you can. But we're also seeing an improvement in the Mock Stars podcast. So thank you so much for being here, listening to this episode, sticking through to the end. We really appreciate that. It's the best thing you can do for us, for the algae rhythm. Don Cheadle himself, with LeBron's fake family, you know, meddling in family affairs, that Don Cheadle is. And the algae rhythm always loves when you hit that thumbs up. Always loves when you hit that heart or ring that bell. All right. Flash, anything?
I have seen the film Tar at least 15 times.
Nice. All right, we're out of here.
Yeah, whatever.
Peace. All right. Thank you, everybody, for sticking around to the end of the show here. We're doing our bi-weekly giveaway, which is an Outlaws of Thunder Junction collector booster. So let's go ahead and shuffle 3 times. 1, 2, and 3. And spin that wheel. Let's see who wins this week. I'm hoping there's some, like, you know, that vault action in there, and it's actually a really cool prize. Tordev, congratulations! You are this week's winner of the Outlaws of Thunder Junction Collector Booster. Thank you, everybody, for participating, supporting us on Patreon. You know, we're very appreciative of it. This fills our cup, and this helps Flash with his move. You know, all of the Patreon support just helps to go support us as content creators, the show, and us individually. So thank you so much, and thank you so much for sticking around at the end of the episode. Tordeath, I will be in touch shortly to get you your prize. All right, Peace.